chapter 3, the first three verses. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, saith the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. And we'll conclude there with the reading of this portion of God's Word. We'll only be dealing probably with a verse, one verse, and continue to deal with it next week, but wanted to read several verses. One of the things we notice as we move from chapter 2 to chapter 3 of Malachi is that in chapter 2 we have a problem identified. Chapter 2, we've got a big problem. God is tired of the problem, and God is tired of the people. That's what we looked at last week, chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. After the return of the people of God from captivity, after 70 years of punishment, we're back where we started. Amazing. After all God has put these people through, they basically come back to where they started. They're presenting unacceptable sacrifices in the temple. And the priests are saying to the people, God bless you. And in verse 16 of chapter 2, God, in a sense, threatens to divorce them. Even though he hates it, he threatens to divorce them. It's one big mess again. Over and over and over, you never learn. You never learn. What am I going to do? And in chapter 3, we see the answer to that dilemma that God defines for us really in chapter 1 and 2. Chapter 3 begins with the answer, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it this time permanently, and I'm going to fix it big time. Chapter 2, I'm sick and tired of it. Chapter 3, we're going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. And it will never be a problem again. In Isaiah 40, which corresponds to this present passage, Isaiah 40, the first verse, God speaks there as if it's already been fixed, as if it's already been repaired. Chapter 40, verse 1 of Isaiah, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she received or has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then after that, God goes into the same message which he gives to us in Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger. Isaiah 43, a voice is calling in the wilderness. God says, I'm not going to take this constant backsliding anymore. We're not going to take this cheap grace anymore. This farce you call a worship. We're going to fix this constant backsliding. And I'm going to send somebody who's going to fix it. But before he comes, because of His greatness, the people have to be prepared. The people have to be prepared. You cannot run into the presence of God, or you cannot have God in your presence without first being prepared. Because of the greatness of the One who is coming. I'm going to fix the problem. And I'm sending someone who is great. We'll look at that next week, because in verse 2 and 3 of Malachi, He tells us what He's going to do more specifically. But before He comes, you must be prepared because of the greatness of the One who is coming. You can tell how important someone is by the amount of preparation there is for His coming. Isn't that generally true? If President Bush were to come to Kingsport, there would be plenty of preparation. Probably the FBI would be here 2 weeks at least in advance. My wife and I were in Orlando, Florida last year, and we're driving toward Orlando, I believe it was, and all of a sudden we noticed that major highways were closed. And we didn't know what it was, and then finally we found out that the President was flying into the Orlando airport. All flights are delayed or canceled. All major highways, even interstates, within a certain distance of the airport are closed. Until He flies in, makes His speech, and flies out, everything is closed down. And after 9/11, it's even much more preparation anytime He goes anywhere. There is always preparation for those who are very, very important. The President is important. The head of the state of any major nation is important. Even in your own situation, in your own homes, you can tell how important somebody is by the preparation you make before they come. I know every time even our sons and daughter-in-laws come home, my wife does a little cleaning and preparing and making sure the beds are made and things like that. My children are pretty important. My daughter-in-laws are really important, you see. We've got to make sure everything's just right because they're important to us. We clean house. We know how important someone is by the preparation that is made before they get there. If somebody's really important, you know, you get out the china and the silverware and you cook the best meals for them. If somebody's not important and it's time to eat, you just fix a hot dog, you put it on a paper plate, and you say, "Here, eat it." You see, not that important. Preparation implies importance. And before Christ was to come, God says there must be preparation made. And that's really what is introduced in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way." And we're going to look at that term here, clear the way, because I've often wondered what God meant by John the Baptist clearing the way for the Messiah. And of course, as we look in the New Testament, we see how He did that, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But looking at the Old Testament, looking at the language that is used, Malachi doesn't say any more than that. He just says He's going to clear the way. And that implies that there is a road to be traveled, there's a pathway to be traveled. It's encumbered with hindrances. Things are in the way. And everything must be put out of the way so the One who's coming to fix all these problems, to repair all the damage, reverse everything, so He can come. And the way is going to be cleared by the messenger, by the one who will make preparation. I've always thought of this in terms of making the way easy for Christ. You know, making the way, taking out all the hindrances and all the encumbrances for Christ. Again, like the president who comes in a motorcade down a major highway, or like a ticker tape parade in New York City, there has to be preparation. The road has to be cleared. The normal traffic has to be stopped, all hindrances removed, all taxicabs away out of the area, all buses out of the area. Maintenance work has to be cleared up. Cars and parking meters and everything are no longer, cars are no longer to use parking meters, and clear the way because somebody very, very important is coming. And Isaiah even gives us a little more description of what this means. And again, returning to Isaiah chapter 40, we get an idea of what this means to clear the way. Isaiah chapter 40, after verse 1, when God speaks of what He's going to do with Jerusalem, in verse 3 He says, "A voice is calling," and we see the same phrase here, "clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God." Okay, clearing the way implies there's a wilderness. Implies almost like there needs to be a new road. It's almost like a Daniel Boone. He needs to make a way because somebody very important is coming after him. And then he goes on and says in verse 3, "Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God." And then he tells us how that's to be done, and this is all in a sense in symbolic language, but language that we can understand. "Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley." So how are we to clear away, at least in geographical symbolic symbolism? Christ is coming. There has to be preparation. I'm sending a messenger to make the preparation, and he's to clear the way. And the way he is to clear the way is to take all the valleys and lift them up. There are to be no deep valleys in the pathway of the one who's coming. And to take all the mountains and hills and lower them down to the same level as the valleys that have been lifted up. And create a plain. And take away all the obstacles. Let the ground, the rough ground, become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. I want it all leveled, totally leveled. And that's what the messenger is to do. Because somebody is important is coming, because I'm tired of what I'm seeing in Jerusalem over and over and over again, and we're going to fix it permanently. But there has to be preparation. That's the language that is used here. Having worked for the state of West Virginia, the Department of Highways, actually for about 2 years, part of my job was working on new interstate construction. Was an inspector, believe it or not. Your pastor was an inspector who was to making sure that the private contractors were doing things according to the specifications in the plans. Building interstate highways in West Virginia was very difficult because you had valleys and you had high mountains. And we had to make a smooth road so that people wouldn't have to go up those high mountains and down in those deep valleys. Back in 1970, 70s, it cost about $1 million a mile. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot today, but that was very, very expensive back then. What a blessing it was. What a blessing it is. For those of us who traveled those old highways, who went around those curvy roads and up those mountains, and it took sometimes 6 and 7 hours, and now we can make it in 2 or 3 hours. What a blessing it is that someone leveled the mountains and raised up the valleys and took away all the obstacles from the trees and everything else to make a smooth highway for us to travel back to West Virginia. And this is kind of the analogy that's being used here. And that's the picture of the preparation. Now, one of the interesting things, I want to point out two things before we close. One of the interesting things that always puzzled me was the purpose of the smooth highway. I always thought that the purpose of the smooth highway was to make it easy for Jesus. Was to make it easy for Jesus, and there may be some truth to that. But as I read through Isaiah chapter 40, I don't think that was the purpose. That was not the main purpose. If you read down through verse 5, you see here the purpose of this leveling activity. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. What was the purpose of the leveling? What was the purpose of taking away the valleys and the mountains? The purpose was to create a landscape where everyone could see the one who's coming. It's not that he would have an easier time, but it was that everybody could see him. You see, with the mountains and the valleys and all the obstacles, when he's coming, it's hard to see him. But when everything's been smoothed out, leveled, everybody can see him from far distances. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. It won't be hidden anymore. And all flesh, all nations, we might say, will see it together at one time. At one time, everyone will see it. And that's the purpose here of the messenger, is to prepare the way so that as many people as possible, all flesh, will be able to see him. The purpose of the smoothing is not so much to make it easy for the traveling of Christ, but it's to make it more like an amphitheater where everybody can see at the same time this person who is so important. There'll be no obstacles in our way. It'll be a level field. It's kind of like going to a big-time football stadium, even like the University of Tennessee, or even like the Bristol Motor Speedway up here. You can get 150,000 people there, all of them at one time seeing the very same thing. And that's really the purpose of this leveling, is not so much to make it smooth for Jesus, but to make it level so as many people, all flesh, can see together at one time this important person is coming, because one of the things we want is for everybody to see him. We want everybody to see him. Raise the valleys, lower the mountains, clear the brush. Why? So everybody, all flesh, together, can see this one who's coming. We want as many people to see him as possible. And that's one of the reasons that John the Baptist was to prepare the way. Not so much to make the traveling easier, because it's not going to be easy for Jesus. It's never going to be easy for Jesus. But rather, it's to make an easy access to Jesus. It's to make an easier view of Jesus. Everyone is to see, not just the Jews, but all the nations, all the flesh. It will be easily visible because he has been pointed out and everything's been prepared for the coming of the glory of the Lord, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the message? What is the messenger to say? He is to point, now that everything's been prepared, now that everything is in a situation where we have a level field and all flesh can easily see him, then he is to say, there is the Master. There is the one who will fix the problem with man. Not just with the Jews, but with all flesh. And we can all see him together. And then secondly, we see that preparation also included not simply making Jesus easily visible, but also it included a preparation of the people. And here again, it's not so much that Jesus himself needed prepared. And it's not so much that he needed a smooth way to make it easier for him, but we need a smooth way so everybody can see. And secondly, we need to prepare the people. Not so much Jesus, not so much for Jesus, but we need to prepare the people for the people's sake. And the people need to realize who is coming. He is the Holy One of Israel. And they need to get ready to meet Him. And how do you get ready to meet Him? Well, you repent. You are baptized and you have your sins washed away. And when He comes, you'll be prepared. You'll be prepared to meet Him. And that's what we find when we actually look at the messenger in the New Testament. When we see what He actually did, we see that's what's happening. And we see that in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, reading there verses 5 and 6. We see the second aspect of how the messenger was to prepare the way. Not only was he to smooth and level the geography, using it as a symbolism, so everyone could see him, but also he was to prepare the people in the sense that they needed to be clean, they needed to be ready, because the Holy One of Israel is coming. And that's why when we find in Matthew, for example, chapter 3, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness in Judea, saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord and make his path straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts with honey. And then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confess their sins. So that's the second aspect of how was the messenger to prepare the people for the coming of Christ. How was this raising of the valleys and this lowering of the mountains to happen in reality? From a second perspective, it was to be done not only so everyone could see him, but preparing the people by telling them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the people came and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. And what were they doing? They were getting ready for Christ. Because you don't want to rush into the presence of God without preparation. If there's anything maybe we ought to learn here this evening, the second part is that you don't rush into the presence of God without preparation. There are too many people who are too friendly and too bold with God apart from Christ. And if there is one thing the Bible teaches us through the messenger, is that first of all, God wants everybody to see Him. God wants everybody to see Him. And secondly, you don't rush into His presence unless you prepare yourself And the way you prepare yourself is to repent. As John said, repent, for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they were coming to be baptized as they confessed their sins. And that makes us ready to meet the one, the great one, the wonderful one who is coming. And that's the same message today. He has come. He has already come. We will meet Him someday. We need to prepare ourselves. He's been revealed to everyone. He's been revealed or will be revealed to all flesh and all the nations. They'll all see Him. And our duty is to call men to repent, believe, be baptized, confess your sins, and you'll be ready. You'll be ready to meet Him. Don't rush into the presence of God. Prepare yourself, saith the messenger. And the messengers have the same message today in the pulpits of the churches of God. Prepare yourself to meet your Maker. He has been exposed to all flesh. And we need to repent, confess our sins, be baptized, and have our sins and our guilt washed away, and we'll be ready. Who is the King of Glory? The King of Glory has come. And the problem in Israel has been fixed. It has been repaired. And that's the message for God's church even today. Let us pray. O Lord our God, help us to learn from this passage that the one who comes is God Himself. And men must prepare for His coming. The way has been prepared that all men might see Him. There are no obstacles, no mountains, no valleys. He is visible to all flesh. And help us to repent, to be baptized and have our sins washed away, confessing our sins, that we might be ready to meet Him. Not to rush in like fools, but as wise men to prepare for the coming of the great and the wonderful One, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.